I saw the harbor lights. They only told.
Oh, that's a good song to dance to, that old slow dance. Harbor Lights by the Platters, and it's the perfect song, I think, to get us going today. There are harbor lights all across Wisconsin. Along the Great Lakes states, there are 19, for sure, harbor lights you're going to be able to see. And we'll be talking about them today with the author of the book, Wisconsin Harbor Towns, The Ultimate Wisconsin Road Trip. The author, Lori Helke, our guest today. She's a travel writer and the creator of the blog Lori Loves Adventure. It inspires midlife women to find joy in solo traveling. And she also wrote the children's series called Beatrice the Little Camper. So as we talk with Lori, I hope you'll join in today. Tell us about your favorite harbor town that you visited, or maybe you're from a harbor town and want to extol its virtues. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Lori Helke, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
I appreciate you having me. I'm so excited to talk about our beautiful harbor town.
Oh, 19 of them that you write about in your book. What gave you the idea to visit Wisconsin harbor towns and write about them?
Well, you know, honestly, living along or near Lake Michigan, I just loved the whole idea, concept of spotlighting our Wisconsin harbor towns. And honestly, I have a relationship with Visit Sheboygan, and so they kind of encouraged me to go forward and to just go ahead and do it. There's a whole Harbor Towns Coalition Association of CVBs and DMOs promoting these towns, and so it just is a perfect thing to, you know, like, go ahead and take a road trip. And, you know, there's places that we might not have discovered. And just to get in the car and go and enjoy the beautiful lakeshore of Lake Michigan and Lake Superior.
And you actually visited every town, right?
Yes, yes, yes. I'm fortunate because I live just west of Sheboygan. So I have quite a few of them pretty much right at my fingertips. And so, you know, some I went and spent a weekend at or a week, and then some I just take off and went and visited, you know, on a day when I had nothing to do. But, yeah.
All right. Well, you know, some of the coastal towns get a lot of tourism. Door County, of course,
yes,
an area that sees a lot. But we ought to consider visiting a harbor town that maybe sort of might be off an individual's beaten path.
Right, right. And that's another reason why I wrote this book, because, you know, like Milwaukee, Door County gets a lot of love from people all over. And so, you know, there's more to discover along the lake shores than just those destinations.
You're right about that. You know, I have visited virtually every one of those towns in your book, and I found a little surprise in reading about each of the towns. For me, I found, oh, I didn't see that, or, oh, I didn't know about that.
Right.
So to me, it was, I found some surprises. What harbor town surprised you the most?
I would honestly have to say Oconto. Now, you know, Oconto is a very, it's a small town, but honestly, it was just, you know, it's rich in history, and it's the perfect, like, small town to dig into. There's, you know, historical tour, and there's businesses, and it just was a great place to discover.
Yeah, well, we'll talk a little more about that as we move along. I had some picks, a couple of picks that I wanted to bring up with you on the towns that we can actually start at the bottom, Kenosha. That's sort of the lowest, if you're looking at a map, it's the lowest one there.
Right.
And
yep.
to me, as a, you know, and I visited Kenosha, and I didn't know about the Civil War Museum, which sounds like a gem.
It is, and its focus is like Wisconsin stories about the Civil War. It's an amazing museum to go and visit, and I highly recommend it.
It was, there's a movie or something, isn't there, that you can see about the Civil War at the museum?
Yes, yes, yeah, and that's a must. But yeah, it dives into like the Wisconsin connection with the Civil War. So yeah, perfect. It's wonderful.
And I thought the streetcars are kind of a unique part of the city, Kenosha streetcars, and you
yes.
can kind of use them to see the city, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh yeah, yeah. The streetcars are really nice. It's kind of like an old-fashioned thing to hop on one and just, you know, just ride along, and it goes along the riverfront. So, yeah, it's a two-mile loop, and it just connects the various points of interest. And so, yeah, it's a great way to get around the downtown area.
I also wanted to talk about Racine. You know, my former wife was a writer for a magazine and did a story once on Danish. The Danish
yeah.
pastries of Racine. And
yeah.
I was lucky enough to tag along with her and had the difficult task of tasting the Danish in each of the best spots.
That's a hard job to do.
Oh, somebody had to do it. I really enjoyed the, you know, and they're actually, I think, nationally known for their Danish, aren't they?
Yes, the Kringle, yeah. Absolutely.
I love those Kringles. Oh, my gosh. And you can also watch watch some glass artists, the Hot Shop.
Yes.
In glass.
Yes. Yes, and that's really cool because they offer classes. When I was there, I took a fusion glass class, and I made myself a gorgeous bracelet that I wear all the time, and it has my favorite like beachy colors in, and it was fun. It was so much fun, and that's one of my favorite things to do when I'm out traveling, like dig into an art class or something, you know. But yeah, it was fun.
Jim in Cottage Grove has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Jim.
Hey, good afternoon or good morning. It's still morning. So I'm originally from Sheboygan. And I lived there as a small child, and even moved back there for a while, running a charter boat service, and get back there from time to time. And it's an area that I really miss as an individual. There's so much to do in all of the coastal towns, Algoma, Kewaunee, Sturgeon Bay. I've been to all of those, but Sheboygan is something special to me, and though it's too late in my life, if the possibility would ever exist of me returning there on a permanent basis, I would. But I do get there from time to time just to reminisce. And the fragrance of Lake Michigan and the ambience it brings to any of the coastal towns is very hard to describe. You really have to experience it to appreciate it. So.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Jim. And let's talk about Sheboygan, because that's certainly on your list of places. You know Sheboygan pretty well.
Yes, yes.
And Jim kind of set the stage for it. So let's talk some more about Sheboygan. How's it changed over the years? You know, Jim started as a kid, but then went back for a little while. And how's it changed over the years?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, Sheboygan has become one of these premier destinations along the lake. It has changed so much. It's really, there's such fabulous restaurants there, and there's so many things to do. There's events during the summer. you know, with the parks and have the beautiful marina and the lakefront. And, you know, the whole riverfront actually has grown so much. But, you know, A Street is just, there's so many shops and restaurants, and it's just, I don't know. It's like my favorite place. Of course, I'm biased because I only live 20 miles away. But
well, you know, it's called the Malibu of the Midwest. And why is that?
Yes. So its location along the lake shore makes it a perfect destination for freshwater surfers. So the surfing season primarily runs from September until April. So on any given day, you know, like today with the winds kicking up, you can just go down to the lakefront, and most of the time you will spot surfers riding the waves by Dillon Park. And yeah, it's that's what it's named for, is, you know, the freshwater surfing.
I liked, well, there's a couple of other things I liked about Sheboygan. One was Three Sheeps Brewery, which is an excellent brewery.
Yes, it is, and it's a huge space. You can go in there, their tap room. They have events like food truck nights, and they're really a great supporter of the community. But yeah, and their beer is fabulous too.
it is indeed. And for the art and nature lover, there's John Michael Kohler Art Preserve. What's an art preserve, and why should you visit this one?
Oh, wow. That is my between Bookworm Gardens and the Art Preserve is like my favorite things to do in Sheboygan. But the Art Preserve is all around artists' environments. So you have these folk artists like Fred Smith, for instance, the Concrete Park way up in, I believe, Phillips. But so he created concrete sculptures that are all over, and he used readily accessible materials, broken beer bottles, stones, you know, concrete. But these artists' environments, it's like these people just create and surround their whole, you know, like their environment, like their home or their yard, with their creations.
That's pretty cool. And you said you had a favorite bookstore there.
Word Haven Bookshop, that's right on A Street. It's a very welcoming, diverse bookstore with any title. And if you can't get a title, you can talk to CJ, the owner, or go online and get one. But it's a quiet space. They have lots of events for writers. And there's a fabulous, cozy little children's section with cozy chairs, and the whole downstairs is just full of used books too. So it's not just new books, it's used books too. And they're a great supporter of local authors like myself.
And you know, if you were going to stay overnight, the one that caught my eye was Dead by Dawn B&B.
Oh yeah, that's in Manitowoc. Dawn, She is the creator of all things spooky and has a haunted house. But, yeah, she's got a little Airbnb thing right downtown in Manitowoc that's kind of quirky and fun.
Well, it sounded like a lot of fun to me. We're having some fun, as a matter of fact, talking with Lori Helke. Her book is titled Wisconsin Harbor Towns, The Ultimate Wisconsin Road Trip. You can join in too. Maybe you've got a comment about a harbor town. I hope you will join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234, or you can email us to talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Talking about the book Wisconsin Harbor Towns, The Ultimate Wisconsin Road Trip, with the author Lori Helke. You can join in if you've got a comment or maybe a question about one of these towns, maybe an experience to share. I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234 or email to talk@wpr.org. You know, Lori, you said something early in the book that I agree with, and it had to do with having a book as a guide. And when I'm on the road, if I've got a book guide, I find it actually easier to use than fiddling around with my phone.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've traveled all over the world, and normally if I go to a place that I haven't been to, I'll either run to the library, or most of the time I like to purchase a copy of a travel guide, because what I do is if I'm gone and the night before I come back to my hotel room, Airbnb, and I will map out the next day, and I'll use the guidebook and write everything down that I really want to see. And I can highlight it. I can take, you know, pages out of the book and have a nice file going. But I don't know. I'm team book all the way. All the way.
I understand completely. Well, let's talk about Milwaukee for a minute. You write that you've taken Milwaukee for granted, and why is that?
Yeah, growing up, I just an hour from Milwaukee. I never went to Milwaukee because we just didn't travel like we do now. But I will say that, I had visited Milwaukee before, but in 2017, I went to my first travel conference, and it was in Milwaukee. And so there were travel writers, agents, a lot of people from the travel space there gathered from all over the nation and the world, actually. And so I overheard all these conversations during this conference about, wow, Milwaukee's really cool. It's such a beautiful city. There's such great architecture and the lakeshore. It looks like we're at the ocean. And, I heard so much, and it made me see Milwaukee through different eyes as a visitor than somebody that's lived here my whole entire life. And so I'm a huge advocate of visiting Milwaukee because there's so much to offer, and for all those reasons. So it made me really see Milwaukee for the gem it is.
And, there are some that some points that you write about in the book that are not necessarily ones that would come to mind right off the top of the head. One that I was thinking about was the St. Joan of Arc Chapel at Marquette University. How did this medieval chapel make its way to the U.S.?
Well, it was in France. It was actually built, I got to see my notes here. So it was built in the 15th century. But it was bought and then transported stone by stone to the United States, and then it eventually was reconstructed on the Marquette campus in the 1960s. So it's small. It's just a very quiet place you can go to just to reflect, and it's so interesting. And me loving France and any kind of French connection, it just blew me away. It's beautiful, and how they recreated it stone by stone is just incredible.
Milwaukee is also known as Brew City, so it makes sense there are tons of breweries to choose some. What are some of your favorites?
I love the Lakefront Brewery, and I actually took a tour of it, and they don't really produce anymore, but the best place at historic Pabst Brewery, and you can go there and you can have as many Pabst beers as what you want, but you take a tour there and you dig into the history of Pabst, and it's very interesting. But there's Sprecher's, and oh my gosh, there's so many. So Yeah, it's Brewtown after all.
Yeah, it is indeed. And, you know, I was thinking about, we mentioned a bookstore earlier, and one of my favorite owners is Daniel Golden of Boswell. Yes. Boswell Book Company. It's just a wonderful, wonderful place.
Yes, yeah. And they're, like, promoting local authors and having authors in. The events is fabulous, but yeah, I'm a lover of bookstores. So anywhere I go somewhere, I try to find the local bookstores to just hang out and yeah.
Well, we mentioned Okano earlier, but for those who don't know, maybe just cite Okano for people. Where is it located?
Yeah, Okano is just north of Green Bay, and it's right on 41, or 41 used to run right through Okano, and that's how I remember Okano, going up north fishing with my dad years ago, and we drive through Okano. So, you know, I was always curious about Okano driving through, like, what's down that street and what's down that street? Of course, we always drove through, but now the highway bypasses Okano, so you have to go off. But it's a little gem. It really is.
Now, one of the things that I found interesting is that it's home to the archaic copper culture Indian burial grounds. And you can learn a bit about its history if you go there.
Right. So the copper culture marks the site of the burial grounds of the old copper culture, an ancient group of natives, and they used copper to their craft, to craft tools. So this is many years ago, and it was actually in 1952, a 13-year-old boy discovered human bones, and that's how it was discovered, actually. So you can go in there. There's walking trails, a picnic area, and restrooms. But there's a little museum also that's open in summer that you can learn more about the copper culture. And actually, if you go to the Beyer Home and Museum in Okano, they have a little display talking about it also.
And, of course, a lot of that's at the Copper Culture State Park, which is a state park.
Right.
It's nice to have. And you also mentioned the garage bar as a spot to stop maybe and have a beverage, maybe a little something to eat.
Oh, yeah. We stopped there, and it was just so much fun. It was a very welcoming neighborhood bar, and they have so many beers on tap. And you can't really see them from, you know, where you stand on the other side of the bar. So the bartender said, well, come on back and you can look at them and choose what you want. So, yeah, very welcoming place.
And it was actually was a garage at one time.
Yes. Yeah. That's what's neat about it.
It's pretty darn cool. And you should also, I think, take your bike there to visit because there's some biking trails there, too.
Right. I had camped when I stayed there. And so I brought my bike along and I could just, it's a very bike-friendly city. So you can, you know, go all over the place. And there's actually a biking trail that goes out to Copper Culture. So, yeah, it's a fabulous biking town.
Let's take some of the Lake Superior harbor towns, maybe Ashland to begin with. It's really known for its murals. What stories do those paintings tell?
Well, they talk about, like, local historic people that have made their mark in Ashland, and they're located all over town. I believe there's 23 of them, but it talks about the Ashland's culture and history. So you can take a self-guided tour and learn more about what each mural represents. You can go on the Ashland Area Chamber of Commerce website, and you can download a guide or pick one up when you're in Ashland. But yeah, and I do have to say that there's kind of a hidden gem that not many people know about that have to do with the murals. But the Ed Griffiths Pedestrian Pass runs right over Highway 2. And it's also, the tunnel is full of mosaic creatures that the community created. So that's kind of a special place and something that not everybody knows about in Ashland.
Yeah, I did not know about that. And I thought, okay, next time I'm in Ashland, I'm going to definitely go there for sure.
Mark, yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, Mark had emailed us. He says he wants to give a shout out, and this goes back to Sheboygan, to the excellent eating options in Sheboygan, especially from the high-end dining of Trattoria Stefano and its sister restaurants, to the great Butterburgers from Goss's and Schultz's. Also, its proximity to Kohler and Elkhart Lake make it a great place to start your Kettle Moraine adventure.
Absolutely.
So some good points there for sure. And Cindy emailed us with a sort of a side comment here. For her husband's birthday in August, she purchased the Wisconsin Supper Club coupon discount guide for $45. And they're planning to take day trips to many supper clubs, that they as many as they can throughout Wisconsin. The coupon book's arranged by regional areas. And in October, they're on their trip to Door County. They had dinner at the Nightingale Supper Club in Sturgeon Bay, for one thing. And
yep.
She said this would be a great compliment to the Harbor Town visits.
Absolutely.
I like that idea. So the Wisconsin Supper Club coupon and discount guide, another good
place.
Yeah. You can join in too, by the way. If you got a favorite harbor town that you want to talk about, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234, or you could email us. The email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I did want to mention Washburn as well. One time the mayor of Washburn told me I don't spend enough time talking about Washburn. I spend a lot more time in Bayfield. But the architecture, I like the architecture of the downtown.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, the Washburn Cultural Center, beautiful, beautiful building.
And what intrigued me there was the Ghost Ship Art Gallery, which is really a collection of artists.
Yeah, like 50 artists from around the surrounding area. It's an eclectic space and a great place to just check out local art. So, yeah.
And the other place for, I have stopped at more than once, actually, in Washburn is Cafe Coco.
Oh, yeah, that is a popular place. And it's funny because I went to Bayfield first when I was up in that area. And there were two places that everybody told me that I should go to, Cafe Coco in Washburn and the Ashland Baking Company. So it was so funny. So, yeah, oh, my gosh, it's fabulous.
So they've got, I know the breads and the bakery are great. And as you point out in the book, I think a very, very well-known eatery. So Washburn is a good place to stop. And I hope the mayor's listening.
I hope so too.
Oh my goodness. Well, let's see. Let's go on to Bayfield next.
Yep.
our team goes there every year for Bayfield and Bloom to broadcast from there. But if someone's never been, maybe describe what you see as you drive into the city.
Well, I can only describe Bayfield as probably like very like a Cape Cod in Wisconsin. You know, you drive in the highway and you can catch a glimpse of the lake, but you come down the hill and this beautiful little town is right in front of you. And then in front of that is the lake shore. And it just, it's such a charming, quaint, you know, to use those words. But yeah, it describes Bayfield perfectly.
And there's something called the Fruit Loop in Bayfield. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so that happens in fall. And there's 14 stops. A lot of them are outside of Bayfield, but they include the orchards, farms, wineries in the area. You can spend a whole day actually visiting them. And so there's like the Hauser Superior View Farm where you can do cider and wine tasting. And they have all kinds of things to purchase. But there's the Bayfield Winery and Blue Ox Cider, which I love that. So there's all these places that you can stop. And it just, yeah. And then, well, of course, there's the three-day Bayfield Apple Festival, which is in October. But yeah, a lot of people skip doing the Fruit Loop, but it's better. It's great to do it like in late summer, early fall.
And, you know, when I'm there, I always make it a point to go to two bookstores. I go to Honest Dog Bookstore and mm-hmm. the Apostle Islands Booksellers.
Yes, yeah. Honest Dog Books is one of my absolute favorite bookstores in the state. It's so cute, you know, new and used books, and the staff is fabulous. It's small, you know, you can spend so much time because it's just so full of books. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Incredible. But, yeah, and then Apostle Island Bookseller, that's right downtown also, and that's a great place to get a lot of books about the area. If you want to learn more about the history of the Apostle Islands, Madeline Island, you know, things like that. So, yeah, that's a great place to go.
And, of course, jump on a boat, one of the tour boats, and go over to the Apostle Islands is always fun.
Oh, yeah, that's I highly recommend taking a boat tour around the Apostle Islands. Gorgeous.
What about restaurants in Bayfield? I particularly like the Landmark restaurant at the old Rittenhouse Inn. Speaking of places to stay at the old Rittenhouse Inn, I think I've stayed there at least 15 times. It's a wonderful inn, but I've had many a breakfast at the Landmark restaurant for sure, and some dinners too, but many breakfasts, and they're always fabulous.
Oh yeah, it's fabulous, and it's hard to get in there. You know, but yeah, highly recommend having a breakfast there, and the setting is just, you know, it's amazing.
It is indeed. Lori Helke, our guest today. Her book is titled Wisconsin Harbor Towns, The Ultimate Wisconsin Road Trip. You can join in, too. I hope you'll come in with a comment of your own about one of these harbor towns. Give a call. The number's 800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Taking a look at the book, Wisconsin Harbor Towns, The Ultimate Wisconsin Road Trip. 19 harbor towns are included in Lori Helke's book. Having some fun talking with her about what you can find when you go to those harbor towns. And join in. Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. Let's go to Joe in Madison. Joe, thanks for calling. Joe, are you there? Did we lose Joe? We must have lost Joe, but I see what Joe's comment was going to be. We should talk more about, or we should talk about Port Washington, and of course that's one of the harbor towns in your book. So what's good to see in Port Washington?
Okay, let's see. So in Port Washington, there's the Ozaukee Interurban Trail. If you're out to into some outdoor adventure, it's a 30-mile trail that connects, and it runs right through Port Washington. Upper Lake Park is absolutely amazing. It overlooks Lake Michigan. It's you have a spectacular view of the Port Washington Lighthouse. There's many events there throughout the year. Let's see. There's the lighthouse and the 1860 light station, which is because I list like every town I talk about the lighthouses right in the beginning, whether or not they're viewable or not. But so those are some great things. There's lots of shopping. Duluth Trading, of course, is there. And I have to say that one of my favorite places to grab coffee in Port Washington is the Daily Baking Company. It's right downtown. It's just a great place to grab a croissant, an espresso, and then there's a few wonderful restaurants there, the Twisted Willow, the Pasta Shop. Port Washington is like one of those undiscovered gems, too, and the whole, it's the downtown area is spectacular.
Yeah, it is indeed a beautiful place, and I've had some nice dinners there as well. So I tell you what, Tom in Ocano has something for us, too, so let's go there. Hi, Tom.
Hi. You missed a good bookstore up there by Mayfield and Washburn. In Washburn, you have Shikwamigan Book and Coffee Company. It's an old place. It's the most fantastic bookstore you've ever been in. They've got something like 70,000 used and new books. I have found so many wonderful books in that store. I used to go up there with the family, and we'd start a stack on the deck, and the kids would go and grab their stuff. My wife would go and find her stuff. I'd go find my stuff. And by the time we got done, there was about a 4-foot-high stack of books.
Yes, I do have that in the book also. I thank you for mentioning that.
Maybe you should tell us, and I should have asked you this to begin with, but how your book is organized. You did mention that you always start with lighthouses, whether or not there are lighthouses, but go ahead and explain the book.
So the book is divided into 19 chapters, so each harbor town has its own chapter. And in the beginning, I just kind of give a little overview, and I go into some fun historical facts, like 4 or 5 facts, along with population. But then I dive into the main, like, things to do in each city, the highlights. You know, it's like so hard to cover everything, and oh my gosh. But then I go from that into like places to shop. I have a shopping section. So my favorite places to shop, bookstores, you know, women's clothing, kind of some eclectic things if I thought there was something that was really kind of interesting. And then I talk about places to eat and drink. So that covers, you know, cafe, bakeries and coffee, and then restaurants. And then I'll talk about breweries, wineries, and distilleries. So, and then finally, I end up with, like, accommodations. So I have just a few accommodations, and all of the things that I talk about, with the exception of some hotels, are small businesses, mom and pops, and because I like to feature those kind of places, you know, than like the chains. You won't really see me listing any malls or, you know, any big shopping centers. It's just all small businesses.
Yeah, I like that part of it, as a matter of fact. Dan in Prairie du Sac has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Dan.
Hello.
Hi, what's on your mind?
Share,
yeah, go ahead.
Well, about a year ago, my wife said, let's go somewhere for my birthday, which is November 5th, and she wanted to go to Kenosha. And I said, really? Kenosha? But we stayed at a fabulous, like, boutique hotel. I think it's called the Stella in Kenosha. And then we took the train, which is a few blocks away. You hit the train, and you can go. That's the northernmost stop on the train from Chicago. And you can get to Chicago in, I don't know, a couple hours or an hour and a half. And it's so easy. And then get back, and we had a great time in Kenosha. There was a couple brew pubs there that were nice, and so I would just recommend that.
Dan, thank you very much for calling. And Lori, I remember, too, you mentioned in the book that the train ride to Chicago from Kenosha.
I have done that. I can't even tell you how many times I do that. It's so nice. It's like stress-free and inexpensive. You don't have to worry about your car. But, yeah, I drive. It takes me about 2 hours to get to Kenosha. I hop on the Metra train. And like he said, it's like 2 hours to get there. But you end up right on at Ogilvie Center, which is just not too far from Union Station. But you're right in the middle of town, so you can walk all over. I will go just for a day, actually, to Chicago, and it's so convenient. And a lot of people do not realize that it's there, but it's so easy.
And you're not paying tolls the whole way.
Exactly. Very economical, let me tell you.
Dan, thanks a lot for calling and for that shout out for Kenosha. I really appreciate it. Greg in Cottage Grove, your turn. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Larry. I know that we've talked about Port Washington, but I'd like to also say Port Washington has great charter fishing.
Yeah, I should have mentioned, actually, Port Washington is well known for its charter fishing. And you comment on charter fishing opportunities in many of these harbor towns, Lori.
Yes, yeah. And that's, you know, it's a spotlight. All these harbor towns, Algoma, Sheboygan, Manitowoc, Two Rivers, you know, they all have a thriving charter fishing business. And it's great to point that out to people that don't really realize that you can go to one of these cities and reserve a day or half day or 3 hours and to get out on the lake and to catch your salmon and your trout. And so it's so fun. But yes, absolutely.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate the call. And while we're talking about things outside, I did want to go back to Bayfield for a minute because I wanted to plug something you didn't have in the book, which is the Apostle Highlands Golf Course.
Yes. Yeah. That's fantastic, right? I didn't cover really many golf courses in the book.
I really enjoy that course. Mostly, I think there are 13... On 13 of the 18 holes, you have a view, and you're up on this high hill looking down on the city of Bayfield, but the Lake Superior, 13 of the 18 holes, you have a view of Lake Superior. So it's just a gorgeous, if you're a golfer, it's a gorgeous place to play.
Nice.
I really enjoy going there, as a matter of fact. Well, you travel a lot by yourself, and you write about that in your blog, too.
Yes.
What are the upsides of traveling that way?
Well, you don't only have yourself to worry about. You know, you can do what you want when you want to do it. It's a fabulous way to travel. And honestly, what my favorite thing about solo travel is the fact that it opens you up to having conversations with locals. You know, if you're like going someplace with your spouse, for instance, and you tend to stay in your own bubble, you know, if you're by yourself, it's just, you can sit at a table and strike up a conversation with somebody next to you, or, you know, the shopkeeper that you go into. It's a great way to find out more suggestions of off the beaten path things to do in a destination.
Absolutely. So what's next for you, by the way? Are you traveling anywhere this winter?
Well, other than going to Chicago in a couple weeks, I may be going to Spain in February. I'm pretty much going to stay home. I'm working on currently. I have a new book coming out in about February. It's 100 Things to Do in Sheboygan Before You Die. So, yeah, that's with a publisher, and I'm excited about that to come out. So, Sheboygan fans, you know, that's a great way. But, I'm a camper, too, so I'm working on scheduling some camping trips for next summer. But, yeah, I'm pretty much going to stick close to home, but you never know, because I might just take off at the last minute and go somewhere.
Well, at the start of your book, you feature a quote by St. Augustine, and it says, "The world is a book, and those who do not travel only read a page."
Yes, yeah.
Tell us more about that philosophy.
Yeah.
What's the world added to your life?
Oh, my gosh. The world has opened up so much. You know, traveling solo, honestly, is such an empowering experience, particularly for women at 50 plus, you know, at this time of your life. And I really never started traveling till I was in my 50s. So it means that you have to go out there and experience the world, because if you don't, you know, it just keeps your mind so focused on where you're at. You know, it's just, the world is small, honestly. And I've learned so much by traveling all over and met so many people. And it's amazing.
Well, it's been a lot of fun talking with you today, Lori. I've enjoyed your book. I'm going to keep it, probably have it available in my car, as a matter of fact. I've got a spot for books just like that. And I appreciate your time and talking with us about it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Larry. I really appreciate it.
Lori Helke is our guest today, and her book is titled, again, Wisconsin Harbor Towns, The Ultimate Wisconsin Road Trip. So that's a Wisconsin road trip. And coming up, we're going to talk about other kinds of trips, cruises, maybe tropical vacations. Are you thinking about ever gone on a cruise? We'll talk about that next. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News.
Goodbye to tender nights beside the silvery sea. I long to hold you near and kiss you gently.
just once more.
I've got two tickets for paradise. Won't you pack your bags and leave tonight?
Do you have two tickets to paradise, or are you wishing you had two? That Eddie Money song there is always a lot of fun to hear that song. And it sets us up for our next conversation. We're still talking traveling, and we're going to cover places to visit for a tropical vacation. Where are the best places? We'll talk about cruises. Have you ever been on a cruise? Carrie Mulliken with us once again. She's president of Bon Voyage World Travel Experts, offices in Waterford and Union Grove, and she founded the business in 1997. So she's been doing it a long time, and as we talk with her, want to hear from you. Share your thoughts on the best cruise lines, for example, or tell us about the tropical vacation you have planned for this winter, or maybe you have a question about going to a particular place and what might be involved. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Carrie Mulliken, welcome back. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Larry. It's happy and pleased to be back.
Well, where have you been traveling lately?
Well, I came back on Sunday from Jamaica, and I'll be flying tomorrow to Mexico. So this timing of this broadcast was perfect. I could sandwich in between both of those trips and be able to be a part of it.
Do you lead trips, or are these scouting trips for you, or how does that work?
Yes, I do lead trips. So, one of the things I'm very passionate about is, taking groups to different destinations and being a part of their travel experience. So some of these were scouting trips, and there's a variety of reasons why I travel, but yes.
Well, cruises, what are the pros and cons of taking a cruise? I've never done one, and so I'm interested in knowing what you know about them.
Absolutely. So these days there's a lot of different cruise opportunities. You can do river cruises through Europe. You can do, the Caribbean cruise, which so many people are already familiar with. They now have expedition cruises. So if you want to do things in Antarctica or maybe the Galapagos Islands or something of that nature where it's a little bit more adventurous, that's an opportunity as well.
And are there, I don't know, I often wondered about that. I envision just eating a whole lot of food and not doing a whole lot else.
There are lots of activities on board these days for cruises. And I think one of the biggest values in terms of cruising is that it gives you an opportunity to visit multiple destinations in a period of time without packing and unpacking. And it allows you the opportunity to see what you gravitate to. What did you like best to then maybe later on go back and spend a week on a particular island as an example. So there's great value with that.
Yeah. Samantha in Whitehall has a question for us. Let's go there. Hi, Samantha.
Sure.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was just thinking about this sometime down the road. 43 years old, never traveled by myself. Is that a safe thing to do? I'd like to try to go somewhere, but how do you pick where to go? And when you do have an idea in your mind, like Barbados or Fiji Islands or something like that, how do you study it before you go there to know if it's a safe place to go on your own?
Sure, Samantha. So as always, I always recommend that you consider working with a travel advisor. You can certainly just look at ASTA.org, ASTA.org, and find a travel advisor location near you. But they're really the experts on different destinations. Typically, what I would do is just want to learn a little bit more about what it is that you're interested in doing. There are many opportunities for solo travelers. In fact, a lot of cruise lines now even dedicate a block of cabins to solo travelers. So it avoids you having to pay a single supplement to be able to go on a cruise where maybe that's an elevated cost. It allows you to still travel and have a nice, comfortable cabin or room without having to do a surcharge.
Yeah. And if you were thinking of going alone on just a tour, aside from a cruise, a tour isn't a bad idea. You know, I've been on a few tours myself, and I've often, on those tours, I've run into many people who actually were on their maybe third or fourth tour together, but because they met on a tour, single, you know, they were single people on the tour or by themselves, let's put it that way. I think some of them were married, but they were on their own. But then they met friends and wound up signing up for a tour every year someplace.
Absolutely. That certainly does happen. And, you know, another opportunity is if you are feeling more comfortable, you know, it's a new destination, you're feeling more comfortable traveling with a group. As Larry had mentioned earlier, I do also escort tours. Like this October in 25, I'll be doing a Paris and Normandy River cruise. And so that gives opportunities for people who want to travel with like-minded individuals from their own community. We give you a chance to meet one another even before the trip. And then you have, you know, a travel advisor with you to kind of answer questions along the way. So that's also another opportunity.
We talked about on the cruises, but let's go back to them for just a minute. There are some, as we were talking about, if you were single or going by yourself, you mentioned those, but are there a few family-friendly cruise lines? Disney comes
Absolutely.
To mind, but...
Yes, they're fabulous. Disney is a wonderful cruise line to experience with your family. Very Disney-themed, very family-friendly. But in addition to that, you have, you know, cruise lines such as, say, Royal Caribbean that have all of the latest and greatest amenities on board and, you know, activities on board, such as ice skating and surfing and roller coasters even these days. And so there's water slides. I mean, lots of opportunity to keep families busy for various age groups.
And let's say you're looking for a laid-back vacation. How can you make sure a ship won't be full of loud parties?
Absolutely. So there are some cruise lines, again, that we would direct our clients to that maybe spend more time in port, such as Azamara Cruise Lines. You know, they're really known to extended time frame. You don't have to be back on board so quickly like you do with some of the other cruises. Or maybe you would consider maybe like a Virgin Voyages, which is an adults-only cruise line. So there's a lot of different niche kind of opportunities that are out there, and when talking with someone who, you know, understands those opportunities, they can better explain them to you.
And there's really quite different lengths of time you can choose to spend on a cruise, aren't there?
Absolutely. Typically, the shortest is like a two-day to the Bahamas. We here generally recommend a four-night or longer, just because by the time you get on board and you get familiar with what's to offer, you know, you have to kind of pack up and come home. So we generally recommend a minimum 4-day, but you can do cruises around the world that can be multiple months at times.
That'd be fun, too.
Absolutely.
I remember the story of the couple, that retired couple that sold their house and they basically live on cruise ships.
There's so much truth to that. Many times, you know, when you look at what assisted living or independent senior type living prices are, often many people consider doing, you know, month long cruises or back to back week long cruises versus maybe doing a couple of months, you know, wintering in Arizona or Florida as an example. It's another great opportunity to consider.
Yeah, absolutely. Tony in Sturgeon Bay, your turn. Hi, Tony.
Good morning. Well, I hate to travel, and I hate to travel alone. So because I hate it so much, I did both this summer. and my wife really encouraged me. I'm kind of newly retired, so I had more time than adventure in front of me. So my wife owns an art gallery in Sturgeon Bay, so she had to stay open. So for the entire month of July, I drove from Sturgeon Bay, and I got as far north as St. John, Newfoundland, in the Maritimes, which is right next to Iceland. And I was on the road for 5 weeks, met people that I never would have met if I had been traveling with my wife. I hung out with a guy who was running for mayor who was living in a tent in Halifax. So there was so much I had really depend upon myself. I couldn't depend upon anybody else. And because I hated it so much, I'm going to do it again. And if I can, I'm going to make it to Pasadena to help build floats for the Rose Bowl parade.
Oh, well, Tony in Sturgeon Bay, thank you very much for calling. What do you think, Carrie?
Those sound like excellent adventures. And, you know, it is interesting. You know, we meet with a lot of our clients over the phone all over the United States, but we also have, you know, obviously in person appointments in our office. And the number of times in my career where a couple might come in to me and either, you know, the wife or the husband, you know, is very reluctant in which to go on the trip. Maybe it's their first time. And it's interesting the disposition change when they return from the trip and they're ready for the next one. So I'm glad to hear that. That's what happened with Tony as well.
And Tony, I've got a little story to tell you on the Rose Bowl floats. I had a friend, Hans Grud, who was a student at UCLA, and he was the leader, the head guy in charge of the UCLA float, and they worked so many hours in a row. He was so exhausted by the end, he fell asleep and he missed the parade. He didn't even get to see. So if you're the point is, if you're going to work on a float, be prepared to do a little bit of work, because I guess it was fun, Hans said, but he was kind of sorry he missed the whole parade. Oh, my goodness me. Well, you can join in, too. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or you can email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller as we talk with Carrie Mulliken, president of Bon Voyage Travel, World Travel Experts, with offices in Waterford and Union Grove, here for WPR News. Thanks so much for joining us today on WPR News. We're talking about cruises and travel to a tropical location during the wintertime with our guest, Carrie Mulliken, president of Bon Voyage World Travel Experts, offices in Waterford and Union Grove. Join in, an experience to share. I hope you'll join in. The number's 800-642-1234. Email to talk@WPR.org. Lynn and Sister Bay, what's on your mind?
Hi, really interesting show today. I was thinking about traveling, how much I love to do it. And my mom had a riddle that she used to give to people. And the riddle is this. Let's see if you know the answer. What are the four things you need to have in order to travel?
Well, probably money.
Yes, that's one. Very good.
Passport?
Nope. We can travel all over this country without a passport.
Let's see. Well, baggage, obviously, would be one.
Nope.
Patience?
Nope. Although that's a good one to have. Really, that should be number five.
I give up. What are the four things?
Okay. Well, you need the time to travel, right?
Yeah.
You need your health to travel, and the one thing that a lot of people don't have is a desire. So health, money, desire, and time. Those are the four things that you really need to have if you're going to travel.
Lynn, I like the way your mother thought and you think. Carrie, what about you? What do you think?
I love that. My guess was going to be the desire for adventure. So I got that maybe half right. You have to have a mindset for adventure.
Yeah.
That's when you're happiest traveling, I think. There's so many things that, you know, little things can happen throughout a trip, and you really just have to know that it's all part of the journey.
Yeah. Lynn, thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it. Those are four very good things that you need to travel. Kim in Eau Claire, we'll go to you. Hi, Kim.
Hello. We will be traveling to Europe for Christmas and New Year's. We're actually going to be there for 2 months. But after the holidays, we were thinking about going down to Italy. How far down do we get to get real nice and tropical?
Oh, and where are you? Where are you going to be? The point before
that? Well, our home base is going to be in north of Munich.
Okay. All right. So how far into Italy do you have to get to a warmer spot? And Kim, again, that was January and February?
We're going to be there December, January, and come back the 20th of February.
Okay. All right. There you go.
Well, Italy it could be a vacation all in itself, but if you just have, 5 days or so, I think I would really just base that time on what your interests are. Venice is a very different experience from, say, for example, Rome, and that's a very different experience from, like, the Amalfi Coast. So, maybe consider what you want that scenery to be, whether you want to see, different landmarks, or if you're really just looking for some R&R. Unfortunately, that isn't peak time, but the beauty of going to a country which is not in peak season is that you avoid a lot of those crowds. So there's some definite benefits, even though you might compromise a little bit with regards to weather.
So warmer, Kim was thinking, well, not summer weather, for sure. He understands that. But what would be the warmest area that you mentioned for them to go to?
Boy, I would just say stay as far south as you can. Maybe kind of a halfway point might be the Amalfi Coast or maybe Sorrento if you just want some R&R.
Yeah, that makes sense. There you go, Kim. Look that up on and then check their temperatures. There you go. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. A listener emailed to Samantha from Whitehall recommended Quiet Meadows Travel, which is in Galesville, Wisconsin, and made me think about travel agents and what they provide for someone who's traveling. Talk about that a bit, Carrie.
I think what's important is you want to make sure that you're working with a company that has accessibility 24/7, because as you travel, depending on the locations around the world, obviously you have, inherent time changes, which could be middle of the night. And if you have, an issue that arises, you want to make sure that you have 24/7 availability to whomever it is that you work with. And then you also just want to make sure that whoever you're working with is really has your best interest in mind and is really a great listener to understand what your vision is for your trip so that they can plan something that gives you, exactly what it is that you're looking for.
People often think of cruises perhaps as an affordable way to see several places, and Joan wonders, how affordable are they?
Depends on when you travel. I mean, obviously, hurricane season for the Caribbean, if we were just to look at that as an example, would be typically June through end of October, sometimes just in the beginning of November. That generally is going to give you a better price point in the Caribbean versus traveling in, say, for example, the winter when we want to escape the Midwest. Same holds true for, say, for example, Alaska. So many people are interested in, taking an Alaska cruise or Alaska cruise tour, and that seasons generally is May through the first part of September, where the more affordable time frame would be in that shoulder season, such as, like I said, late May or maybe early September would price better than, July, for an example.
Yeah. There are often several choices for the type of room you can get on a ship. Some don't have windows. Some others have windows and a balcony. What should you consider while selecting a room?
Absolutely. So regardless of what type of room category you're interested in, as you had mentioned, inside, outside, having a window. Now they even have interior windows where, instead of not having any window at all, you still have one, but it's an interior facing. That's another opportunity. And then you get into your verandas, balconies, and suites and things. But I often suggest if you've not cruised before, try to secure, regardless of the view, try to secure something that's going to be midship and mid-level and not necessarily the lowest package. passenger deck, because sometimes that can bring on some additional noise, you know, vibrations as you're going into port. You know, always be cognizant of, you know, what is on the deck right above your cabin and what is on the deck below your cabin from a noise perspective.
Yeah. Cruise directors, I know, will plan out activities for guests to do while the ship is docked at, you know, one harbor or another. What are examples of popular excursions on cruise ships?
Sure. So depending, again, on the itinerary, I would say, because we were just speaking of Alaska here a moment ago, you know, doing like a helicopter to land on an actual glacier and do a bit of a glacier hike, certainly very, very interesting and very popular, something you want to plan early because obviously there's some limited supply with regards to that. You know, whale watching, always fun is a nice catamaran cruise. Food tours are also very important. I know we had a call a few months ago on the topic of food tours when you're traveling. Those are all great opportunities to experience some culture and do some sightseeing and also have a bit of adventure.
Yeah, and long as you mentioned dining, what's the all-inclusive dining experience like on board a cruise ship?
So it does vary from cruise line to cruise line, but generally speaking, you have your three meals a day in your main dining areas, and then you have some opportunities to dine in some specialty restaurants. Sometimes there's promotions that might give you a specialty restaurant included in your cruise fare. Other times it might be that there's just a small surcharge or cover charge to go to those. Each cruise line does that a little bit different, but certainly in any of those venues, great, great opportunity with excellent tasting food.
Yeah, and I'm wondering about tipping and showing your appreciation to staff on board a cruise ship. Are you expected to tip, and under what circumstances normally would you tip?
Yeah, so generally speaking, on a cruise, there is a suggested dollar amount per day, which, you know, would be typically in that $16.95 range, maybe a little higher, maybe a little lower. And then that is distributed to, you know, people like your cabin steward or your waiter at the dining room, a number of individuals throughout. And then it takes the effort away from you to have to individually tip with cash. Now, often these are promotions that can be included in some of the tours or cruises if you plan early enough, so that can save, give you some additional savings as well. But they make it pretty easy. They can just bill it to your onboard account. Most cruises are cashless, so you're just billing everything to a master account, and then you're settling up at the end of the cruise.
Yeah. Peg in Park Falls sent an email. Which places in the Bahamas have the best beaches? She says she's looking for white sand beaches that won't be too crowded.
That's interesting because there's so many more layers to that question. You know, in terms of, you know, do we have small children traveling? Are we looking for something that maybe has a pretty shallow entry that can go for quite some distance, you know, without too many waves? You know, are we looking for something that has a long walkable beach, or do you like something that's a little bit more cove-like? Generally, depending on your destination, I think that, you know, looking at whether that beach is public or private certainly plays a large factor in some of the decisions that we make with clients based on what they want. So, you know, the Bahamas has some beautiful turquoise water with some great beaches. I'm sorry, but I think I'd have to have a little bit more about what she considers an excellent beach choice to be able to really give us a good recommendation.
Yeah. Larissa in Durand sent an email. Any recommendations for a romantic vacation? Looking for a honeymoon spot. Could you share some options for a wide range of budgets?
Absolutely. So, you know, often, you know, people always think of the most romantic is going to be in an over-the-water bungalow. And ironically enough, I just returned back from a brand new resort that's opening in Jamaica. It's on an island called Green Island, and they happen to have the over-the-water bungalows there. So you don't necessarily have to go to Tahiti or Fiji or something like that to be able to experience one of those. And certainly so picturesque to be very private and over-the-water and be able to see all the marine life below you. So that is certainly always a nice opportunity to consider and closer to home now than what they once used to be many, many years ago.
Yeah, yeah. I have some friends who Both Mary, they were, had been married, both of them had been married, and so they were getting married, and they went to St. Lucia.
Sure.
And I spent a lot of time in St. Lucia. It is a beautiful place. I don't know if you've ever been there, but wonderful place to, I think, have a, you can have a romantic time there for sure.
Absolutely. You know, sometimes it's all about the ambiance, and it's understanding, you know, what brings you peace in terms of serenity. You know, not always does it have to be a Caribbean island. Maybe it can be a, you know, we were talking about Italy. Maybe it can be a little villa or, you know, quaint accommodations in Italy for an opportunity.
Here's an email. Have buffets on cruises changed post-COVID?
Yeah, I think they have. Some of the cruise lines have gone to more what they would consider a display cooking versus a buffet, meaning that the dishes are smaller, they're replenished more frequently. You know, certainly they have more plastic guards in front of food these days than what there was prior to COVID. So I do think that that's played a factor in just, you know, kind of a germ control, you know, ways to just make sure that everybody remains safe,
yeah,
whether it's a cruise ship or an all-inclusive.
And we were talking about romantic places. Someone else wonders, do you have tips on planning a destination wedding?
Absolutely. So we do plan quite a few destination weddings. And, you know, what's key is going to be, you know, choosing that destination and then, you know, securing your wedding date, because that's certainly very, very important. But, you know, doing a destination wedding is a bit different than here. You know, in the United States, you have to pick your venue and you have to plan, you know, 2 years in advance, and you have to get all of the different components. When you do a destination wedding sometimes, you know, out of the country, it's a little bit more, we secure the date and then we talk about it, but we really don't get serious on a lot of the final details until about 3 months before the wedding. So it's a little bit different mindset, and I just always suggest to my brides and grooms that you just have a bit of patience and understand what that timeline is so that there's not disappointment.
Karen in Green Bay, we'll go to you. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Yes, my husband and I love to travel, but in the last few years, I have started using a cane occasionally. And so I'm a little concerned about doing a river cruise, for instance, and the shore excursions and having to do a lot of walking. I don't know how accommodating would they be.
Sure. So that brings up a very, very good point. So I'll just kind of start. I know you mentioned river, but let me just start a bit with cruises. So a lot of the cruise lines will allow scooter rentals on board. So the scooter is actually delivered right to the cruise, and then you can use it throughout your cruise experience, and then they pick it back up for you. So it does give new opportunity for clients that might have some mobility issues to be able to still enjoy a cruise without having to be concerned about the long walks or the movement on a boat. With regards to European cruise, what's so nice about a river cruise is that you typically dock right there in port. So it's an easy walk off of the boat, and then you know, you can be at your leisure. If you want to do an easy walking tour one day, but maybe the next day you decide you want to just rest a bit and stay in, there's beautiful lounge space on board. You can still see the beautiful scenery you know, be able to take it at your pace from day to day.
Yeah. All right, Karen, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Carol in Green Bay emailed us. What feedback have you had about the Great Lakes cruises? Are they becoming popular? And is there an online clearinghouse for comparing cruise features? For instance, they wouldn't be interested in drink cocktail packages, but they are all about educational excursions. On the Great Lakes.
Yeah, absolutely. So it brings cruising right to our back door, basically, from the Midwest here. So great opportunity. I definitely suggest, if interested in one of those, to certainly plan early. They are incredibly popular.
Oh, they are. So, and do, like, somebody like you, do you handle those kinds of things?
Absolutely, yes.
All right. There you go. So, and when you talk early, what do you mean by early?
So across the board with travel, generally with airfare, you can make your reservations 11 months prior to departure. But with regards to cruising, we're seeing cruise reservations come in for 26 already. So you've got, you know, the rest of 24, all of 25 you can book for, 26, and in some cases into 2027. So what used to be that, you know, oh, I'm booking 3 or 4 months in advance, clients who used to think that that was really far in advance. These days, in some cases, like Alaska, you need to plan, you know, much, much further in advance than that.
Does that hold true, like in Carol's case, for a Great Lakes cruise?
Yes, it does.
So you got to be thinking kind of a year out almost.
Yeah, yeah, we're definitely planning quite a few trips for 2025 and, like I said, into 26 right now.
What about packing for a cruise? How much can you pack or should you pack? You know, there got to be some luggage restrictions, I would guess.
Absolutely. And it's more about, you know, what do you want to pay for luggage to fly, really, to get there to begin with. So generally speaking, you know, a good sized carry-on, a personal item, those are typically at no cost with most airlines today. Your check bags are what you pay for. If you upgrade your cabin on a cruise, or I'm sorry, on an air flight, say, to example, business class, then you're allowed to have more weight in your luggage. But typically, a checked bag would be no more than 64 linear inches when you take your height, your width, and your depth and add the numbers together. That was 64. And then 50 pounds, no more than 50 pounds per checked bag.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I normally can get away with traveling with just my bag, unless I'm golfing, and then I've got to drag, that set of golf clubs along. Although I guess you can mail them ahead too, for that matter.
Sure, and they do have laundry on board many cruise lines. Some of them still have self-launder. Others, you send that laundry out. I always suggest dressing in layers. You know, bringing, you know, outfits that you can mix and match throughout the trip.
Yeah. You know, things can go wrong on a vacation. And you know, if you're on a cruise, I guess it's really important to make it to your ship before it departs. For one thing, I just saw something in the mail about, or in online about a couple that they went on a tour off the ship, and I don't know, they were trapped, there was car problems or whatever, and they didn't get back to the ship in time. And the ship doesn't wait.
No, it does not. It does not. So a couple of points with regards to that would be whenever you do a cruise, we highly suggest that you fly in the day prior just to try to mitigate any risk of airline delays or cancellations, weather issues, things of that nature. So we do suggest you go in a day prior. We always suggest that you consider travel insurance. Many individuals don't realize that your own health care doesn't typically cover you when you're outside of the United States. So that's something to definitely look into. And then thirdly, you know, work with a trusted provider. You know, we have guarantees with the companies that we trust our clients to, that, you know, they guarantee that they will have them back on board. And by working with a trusted partner, you also know, as an example, if you were doing ATV trips or something, that equipment is vetted, that they're going to have, you know, the correct safety standards in place. So although sometimes you might feel like you can save a little bit of money when you get to a port to just, you know, go with the local who happens to be standing there with a sign, but from a safety perspective, not only with transportation, but also the equipment in which you might be using, we do suggest you go with a trusted provider for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Another email, what's the latest on pre-check and other options for passing long lines?
Sure. So TSA PreCheck is still a great option, but if you travel internationally, we do suggest that you just right away consider Global Entry, because you do get PreCheck included with the Global Entry. What is even, I guess, a step up from Global Entry now is Global Entry Mobile. So as I'm mentioned, I just came back from Jamaica the other day, and the Global Entry line actually was quite long. And when I said I have Global Entry Mobile on my cell phone, I was able to get through in a matter of seconds. So that's the next best thing. If you've already got Global Entry, be sure to download on your phone Global Entry Mobile.
I can remember coming back from to Chicago, landing in Chicago, and there must have been 10 planes that all landed at the same time. And the lines were absolutely horrendous. And so those that had the Global entry, we're able to bypass hundreds and hundreds of people. So, yeah, it's a nice feeling if you have that. And the global entry, did you say on your phone? Is that something different? I mean, can you get that? How do you get that?
Sure. So you have to have global entry, and then you just download the app on your phone from the App Store. And the process typically with global entry is you go to a kiosk, and then you put in your passport, and you answer some questions, and it spits out a little certificate. Well, instead of having to go to the kiosk, you literally take your picture with your phone on the app. It sends it to the control area. They know that you're coming through. It gives you a little number, and it allows you to exit immediately. So in the case that you mentioned, similar with my situation the other night, multiple planes had come in. There were hundreds and hundreds of people in the regular line. There was probably 100-ish to 150 people in the global entry line. And by having global entry mobile, I was literally out of the airport in seconds.
Oh, wow. That makes a big difference. What happens, here's another email, what happens if you're sick or injured on a cruise?
Sure. So they do have infirmaries on board cruises. But again, another reason why it's so important to have a good travel insurance policy with you, because in the event that you needed to be evacuated off of a ship while it's sailing, you want to make sure it has a good solid evacuation coverage.
Yeah. And can you disembark from a cruise ship if needed?
Yes, absolutely. You know, many cruises, you are able to board if they're what they call a closed-looped cruise, meaning, say, for example, you're boarding a ship in Miami and you're traveling back to Miami, that's considered closed-loop, and you technically could get on board with a birth certificate, marriage license, driver's license combination. We always suggest, even though that is accepted, we always suggest a passport, because in the event that something happened where you had to get off on a different area that is not under U.S. control, you want to be able to have that passport in which to get home. So we do highly recommend that.
And another thing that stuck in my mind was getting seasick. Are there, how common is that aboard those ships? And will the crew on board the ship be able to help you if you run into this problem?
Sure. The good thing about river cruises is you barely know that you're moving. So if you have any concerns with motion discomfort, maybe start with river cruising and give that a try first. And then when you get into the larger ship cruising, these days they've got great stabilizers, but you no one knows what tomorrow brings in terms of a storm, headed to a particular body of water. So again, using those recommendations I stated earlier, cabin midship, mid-level, you're generally going to feel the motion less. And they have wonderful things like C-bands, which they don't have any medication with them, but they work on pressure points in your wrist. And I see a lot of people on board cruise ships that still use those C-bands. You can get them on Amazon. They're about $11 or so, and that's a great opportunity to try as well.
So when it gets cold here in Wisconsin, people start looking for someplace warm. What are the most popular warm places to travel?
So in the Midwest, sometimes decisions are made based on where can I fly nonstop? Because if you're in a market that has snow, you don't necessarily want to have to do a connection, en route to get to your destination, just because it increases the odds of, weather issues and that sort of thing. So generally speaking, we have clients that say, can you send me someplace warm, but I want to fly nonstop. So generally those areas are areas that have a lot of airlift is what I would call it. So your, Cancun or Riviera Maya area, possibly Mexico, maybe Cabo, Dominican Republic. Those are all areas that generally have good flights that are nonstop and operate daily. And then you have areas such as Aruba, which is much further south. Generally, they do have nonstop flights, but they might only operate on a Saturday or Sunday. So it might require you to change your time frame a bit on your schedule.
Our guest today, Carrie Mulliken, who is president of Bon Voyage World Travel Experts, offices in Waterford and Union Grove. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Talking travel today with Carrie Mulliken of Bon Voyage World Travel Experts. Tim in Madison has a question or comment. Let's go there. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I guess it's more of a comment, Larry. I travel to Central America frequently for my work. And, you know, your guest talked about the travel medical insurance, which is just definitely a must, especially when heading down there. But I also just wanted to make the point of just other preventative things to do, such as, you know, being up on your vaccinations, like for like typhus, typhoid, for example. And then, a lot of Central American and Caribbean areas too, like, you know, being prepared with some malaria medication. And I never leave home without ciprofloxacin too, just in case, I'm hit with Montezuma's Revenge or something like that. So just curious to hear what your guest might have to say about preparing that way too.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. Carrie?
Absolutely, Tim. Those are great suggestions. So, it's hard for me to share kind of how people could do it necessarily individually, but what I can share is with all of our clients, we include a link with Sherpa. And that's something that maybe they could get subscriptions for, which gives you information on exactly what the requirements are to get into a country. And it's continually updated with things that might change immediately. So, you don't necessarily always want to trust just a static page. You want something that's live that kind of goes and updates as needed. But I agree in the fact that always bring, some kind of stomach aid in the event that you have something to eat that, you know, upsets your stomach. And I always suggest drinking bottled water, even in all-inclusives, in the restaurants and things, you're fine, not necessarily bottled water, but you never want to drink the tap water right from your hotel rooms.
I can remember, I think a cold or something going on, and I just took an over-the-counter that I bought in the country. It was one of the Windward Islands. And, whoa, it was the same title of the company here, but the strength was quite different. It was stronger, let's put it that way. And I was I got dizzy from it, and then somebody said, "Oh yeah, the formulations can be different in other countries."
Absolutely, I agree with that.
That was a lesson learned, I'll tell you. Another email: what are some lesser known places for tropical vacations? Where would you recommend?
So, you have some different Caribbean islands where I had mentioned earlier you don't have that airlift. So, you just have to know that it might take a ferry. You might need to go, take a ferry to get to the destination, or you might need to take multiple flights in which to get to a destination. Isla Mujeres might be, a little lesser known for many people. Sometimes they don't want to go back to the same destination they've been to before. So in this case, that would be flying into Cancun. Maybe they've been there already. They don't want to do it again, but maybe this time they go to Cancun, but then they take the ferry to Isla Mujeres as an option, or Hobac, or getting into like the South Pacific Islands, maybe doing, something that's a little bit, might take two planes to get there, but maybe when you get there, it's a very up and coming, not commercialized area. I know we did one for some guests a couple of weeks ago that were going to one of the Tahitian islands that was much less populated.
I can remember being in St. Kitts Nevis while I was on Nevis, and I was supposed to take a plane. There was a small plane that was going to take us to another island where the major flight back to the U.S. was leaving from, and the plane was an hour and a half late getting to Nevis, and so I missed the flight. Just barely, even then, I missed the flight back to the States and spent kind of a long day waiting for another flight. It was not the best day I ever spent, that's for sure. Cheaper destinations if you're craving warmth.
So less expensive, again, speaking from the Midwest, because I know this route very, very well, would be maybe the Pacific side of Mexico. So something like maybe Puerto Vallarta, you know, offers some great, beautiful golden beaches to walk. You know, you have the Pacific Ocean, so the water temperature is a little bit cooler than, say, some of the other areas of water. But generally, some really good buys with some good flight availability into Puerto Vallarta as an example. We had mentioned Cabo, you know, such a great destination. You can walk around the town. You can actually dine in some of the local restaurants. They've got whales in that January, February, March timeframe, which are always so beautiful to see. That would maybe be another good option.
Yeah, that sounds great. What's the best time to book a vacation like that, a tropical vacation, let's say?
So in terms of, you know, where will you be able to get your best buy, generally speaking, the closer you get to Easter, the more expensive the rates become. That could have something to do with college breaks. That could have to do with just school breaks in general or the holiday itself. So generally, if you can do something in that, you know, first part of January, there's some really good buys to be had because not everybody wants to travel so close to Easter being over. You know, they're still trying to catch their breath after the holidays. So sometimes there's some great opportunities there.
And what about the pros and cons of all-inclusive resorts?
Sure. So the value of an all-inclusive is that you're paying a fee up front and you don't feel as if you're nickel and dimed once you get to the destination. So you have a lot of flexibility in terms of, you know, different activities. You know, they often have evening shows. They have multiple, you know, bars or swim-up bars, perhaps, different dining venues. And you're not having to pay each time you order a drink or you have a meal. It's all included. So I think that's probably one of the biggest values is you know what you're expecting. Expenses are going to be up front.
Yeah, and on the downside?
On the downside, if you pay for all-inclusive, you may be less likely to want to go out on an adventure off the resort because you'll feel like, oh, I don't want to be gone for lunch because I kind of already paid for lunch. Why do I want to go into town? So it's really just, you know, kind of analyzing what it is, how you value that. If you use it as just a kind of a central point and then you still go out and do some of these adventures, that answer is different for everyone.
Yeah, if it was me, I would say, okay, well, I did pay for dinner, but I would like to go out and try a local spot.
Sure. I definitely would recommend that.
How can you get a better or more, let's put it, more authentic idea of a country or region if you choose to stay in a resort? I mean, harder to do, isn't it?
Well, we do work with trusted partners around the world that are, you know, on the ground. For an example, I'm working on a Portugal trip now. I'm working on a London trip now. I'm working on, you know, quite a few different ones where they don't necessarily want something that is pre-planned in a brochure that, you know, maybe 40 other people are doing with them. They want something customized and unique to them. And we do work with partners around the world where we can put together those itineraries for you so that it's truly unique to your interests.
But if you want to go the other way, you can do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Escorted tours are a great opportunity where someone else is doing the driving, somebody else is taking care of all of the logistics of your vacation, and you really just have to worry about, you know, tell me when I have to show up and what time are we starting our day, and you're off. And it's a great narrative that goes along with escorted trips. You really come back very knowledgeable about the areas in which you visited.
Are you pretty busy right now? I mean, are things starting to heat up for you?
Absolutely.
For the coming year?
We are. You know, years ago, it used to be a very ebb and flow business. You know, we would get very busy in those winter months. But now, since COVID and everybody has the right to travel again, you know, we find that in our summer months, we're busy with Europe and Alaska. And then in our winter months, we're busy with the tropics, like you had mentioned.
Well, Carrie, it's always a pleasure. I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it. And we'll look forward to another visit from you down the road. Thank you so much.
Sounds fabulous. And you have a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you, Carrie. Carrie Mulliken is president of Bon Voyage World Travel Experts, offices in Watertown and Union Grove, 800 number, 800-642-1234. Or you could send an email to talk@wpr.org. I think we've got a link there as well. Getting into the holiday season, I want to let you know that Santa will be stopping by the studio this year, and we'll have him on the show on Christmas Eve. He'll be ready to take calls from our youngest listeners to talk about their Christmas wishes. That's always a lot of fun. Looking forward to that. Tomorrow we learn how bugs have affected human culture and society, a really cool book. And we'll also hear from Phil Pelletieri, our entomologist. Thanks for listening in. Our producers, Clara Neipert and Joel Patnaud, our technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins. Our executive producer is Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Again, thank you so much for listening, and stay with us. Lots in store here on WPR News.